Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month is low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
This is the Fixer Sciatica Podcast.
And hello again. This week we're going to take a deep dive into the world of strengthening exercises and its role in sciatica pain relief. Researching for sciatica pain relief, you're going to come across a specific set of strengthening exercises and stretches. But we can all agree that cookie-cutter approaches rarely provide relief for people dealing with pain. But what are we supposed to do? Some people and professionals say you should only be stretching. Others say that you should be only strengthening. And some folks say that low-impact activity is actually going to be the key to your relief. So what's the deal? Today we're going to be covering this ins and outs of strength training, what it is, why it's so important, and how to safely implement that into a routine for your pain relief. First off, what is strength? Strength is an expression of force, and it can be defined in the movement space as a force to generate movement, resist motion, and the third piece is what I have coined movement coordination. The items of strength is to generate movement can be simply seen as trying to move an object or even a body part. Think of it as a bicep curl. You're generating force when bending your elbow, and you will generate more force and build more strength when you put more weight in your hand during this exercise. This motion is called a concentric contraction, where the muscle fiber is actually shortened. On the other hand, when lowering the weight down, we don't just let our arm flop to the side. In fact, when we control the downward force of the exercise, we are dealing with what is called an eccentric contraction, where we are controlling how fast the movement happens or occurs. The first component of strength is movement-based. The second component of strength is the ability to resist motion. We call this stability. In regards to muscle contractions, we are looking for what is called an isometric contraction, where the muscle fibers actually stay the same length. Imagine being able to resist motion like holding a plank. Your abs and core are contracted, but there is no movement at all. So as you've heard, strengthening is to improve a muscle's ability to produce or resist motion as compared to stretching, which is going to be focusing on improving the range of motion of a joint or a muscle. Each one will serve a different purpose and will help people in different scenarios. But just like how you want to ideally stretch a muscle that is restricted and stiff, an example of that would be actually being unable to cross one leg over the other, we want to focus on strengthening weak muscles. So this brings up the question as to why muscles get weak in the first place, and how can strengthening a muscle help with my pain? Muscles can weaken due to a couple different reasons. The first is disuse. The phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it, is a very, very valid statement in this scenario. Strengthening exercises will be useful in this case because we train the muscle and it builds strength as a result of it being used. The second is due to muscular trauma. If you hit a muscle hard enough, it's going to weaken as a way to protect itself from further damage. This is one of the few times where rest could actually be helpful. But once healing has begun, gentle pain-free motion will be able to help restore the strength. The third is due to neurogenic claudication. This is a fancy way of saying a nerve gets pinched, which can often occur in sciatica. This is where things get a little tricky. Sometimes the nerve can get pinched due to a disc or the compression of a muscle. Strengthening can work in the right scenarios for a pinched nerve to focus on unpinching that nerve itself. Another reason is that a muscle is in the shortened position, and a muscle can be weak when it's in the lengthened position as well. This is where things become even more problematic, because most programs will have you strengthen your glutes or your piriformis or your back muscles without ever figuring out whether or not you need strength in the first place. Because when a muscle is in a lengthened position, the last thing you need to do is stretch that muscle more. And then when you have a muscle that is shortened too much, the last thing you need to do is to strengthen that muscle. So here's how we can determine if a muscle needs strengthening to begin with. We first determine the length of the muscle or joint. Is there enough range of motion in the area? If you can take any joint and you try to move it, are you able to go through the full range? If not, then your muscles are most likely restricted and strengthening may not be the best option for you. But if you have full range of motion, maybe even more motion than you think, then strengthening those muscles can actually be helpful for you. The areas that are the most commonly identified as weak in people dealing with sciatica pain include the glutes, the low back, and the core. So let's talk about the glute strength and its role in sciatica pain. Most of the time, the exercise called glute bridges or hip raises are programmed into a sciatica pain program without having any sort of specific reason other than, quote-unquote, your glutes are weak. Well, how can you tell? We have to identify what the glutes are actually designed to do. They're actually built to extend the hip, externally rotate the hip, and bring the hip out to the side, as well as stabilizing the hip when you're walking. So these are the motions of the hip, and unless you were tested on the flexibility of hip extension, hip external rotation, or hip abduction, aka the leg out to the side, saying that these muscles are weak without doing an assessment are doing you a disservice. Hip extension strength asks, are you able to properly push your leg back with each step? If so, your hip extension seems to be okay. But if you feel pain in your back or sciatica with kicking the leg back, then maybe you're dealing with what we call hip extension weakness. It could be due to the fact that you're overcompensating by arching your back. Another question that you have to ask is, do your knees cave in every time you squat or sit down, or if you notice that you're knock-kneed or if you have flat feet? If so, then you might actually need to work specifically on hip external rotation. Do you notice your hip dropping or hip moving side to side with every step that you take? Then yes, in this scenario, hip abduction can be a good exercise for you. The purpose of explaining the aspects of the glutes is to identify where, if any, direction of movement should you be strengthening. Weak glutes can be a contributing factor to your sciatica pain if you don't actively engage your butt when pushing off of each step. If you notice your knees caving in when squatting, or you notice your hips are moving too much to the side with each step. In this scenario, exercises like glute bridges can be helpful with the focus on pushing the knees out or having a band around the knees. We're going to talk about strength dosing later in this episode. But if you notice that you don't have any ability to get into the motion, leg back, leg out to the side, or turning your hip, then glute strengthening might not be your issue and you can take that out of the program if you notice that working your glutes doesn't really do much. The next area of pain that often gets locked and weak are due to the low back muscles themselves. Now, there was this whole group of providers who said that you needed to build up the strength in your back muscles. When your low back muscles contract, it results in you moving into an arched position. This is actually designed to keep you more upright when standing. And one of the most common exercises to build low back strength are Superman holds, where you're laying on your stomach and you pick both your legs and your chest up from the floor, or you do it in a Roman chair, and we call it Roman chair back extensions. I will say that if you're able to stand up without falling over, then you most likely don't need low back strengthening. But there are some people who would actually benefit from more low back strengthening exercises.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
That includes people who powerlift or weightlift professionally. If you're a normal person, this exercise has little to no benefit to your recovery. The reason why back extension strength may be helpful, though, is that you do not have enough extension in the low back to begin with. This is going to be particularly helpful for the folks who have a tendency to round their back too much when bending over. And if you find that your low back is rounded or flat in general, then low back extension exercises, specifically strength, can actually help you out. But if you already notice that you have an arch in your back and these extension motions cause pain, then you can get rid of them in your program. The third over-prescribed strengthening exercise is the plank. It was designed to build strength in the core. Static strength, that is. Because when you hold a plank, you're not moving, you're holding a position. And the way we make it harder is to change the height of your plank, add resistance to your plank, or you to hold it longer. The question is, how long is enough? Usually people prescribe planks for 30 seconds to a minute. And like I said before, if you're able to stand up and not be a wet spaghetti, then your core is probably decently strong enough to hold you up. But if this is the case, why are planks thought to increase strength and improve sciatica pain? It was thought that if you had a strong core, it was protective of your back, which does have some validity to it. Does that mean that you should be flexing your abs 24 hours a day? No. I actually believe the amount of core tension that you hold in your body should be relative to the activity that you're doing. So if you're just relaxing, no need to create an abdominal brace or contraction to quote unquote protect your back. But if you're unable to figure out how to create tension in your core, then yes, planks could be helpful for you. If you're able to figure out how to brace your abs when doing activities, you can go ahead and skip over the plank holds. With the caveat that plank holds are a great supplement to a workout program, but I don't believe that they are crucial to the recovery space. With that being said, here are my three go-to exercises to build strength in the hips, core, and glutes. The first exercise is the ability to brace your abs. So how do we do that? It's going to be in the following process. First, while standing, you're going to put your feet underneath your hips or shoulders, and then slowly squeeze your butt. You're going to notice that your body starts to tense up. The next thing is you're going to pull your rib cage down to your pubic bone like you're getting yourself prepared to be tickled. Next, you'll pull your shoulder blades back and down. This is where you're creating 360 degrees and top and bottom pressure to build that stability. You're going to be creating more tension when you're moving faster, lifting heavier, or learning a new movement. You'll generate less tension when the activity is easy, and it is unrealistic for you to hold a tight core all the time. A video for bracing is actually going to be found in the show notes. The next exercise is going to be the squat. It's one of the most effective core, hip, and leg strengtheners out there. And as I said before, I believe that your low back is plenty strong. We just don't move the hips enough, hence why I believe the squat to be so useful. You should be focusing on sending the hips back and down. What a lot of trainers and even professionals think is that you need to keep your chest up and your knees away from your toes when squatting. But here's the deal. If you squat down and keep your chest up, you're going to notice that your low back arches a little too much. And if you're extension intolerant, this could be a problem. So instead, think about leaning the torso forward and hinge at the hips. You're going to feel the difference, and you can see the video in the show notes. The last exercise that I find is often overlooked is the hip hinge or deadlift. You're going to hear deadlifting is bad for your back and sciatica. I challenge that statement with improper deadlifting is bad for your back and sciatica. You neither want to round nor arch too much. So how can we do this? By focusing on generating hamstring tension. You can do this by setting the intention of sitting the hips back like you're closing a car door with your butt and leaning your torso forward. Be less wary about the position of your chest, but look down at whatever you're picking up And again, you can see this video in the show notes. Executing an exercise with proper form is the key to pain-free exercise, pain relief, and a return to function. It is the overlooked component of muscle coordination that I believe is missing in a lot of rehab programs, which means that you have to do things correctly and appropriately as well, being able to recruit your abs when you need to. It's also extremely important to talk about dosage or how many and how often you should be doing these exercises, whether it be strengthening or stretching. If we go into key principles of strength and conditioning, which is also applied to rehab, we have three main goals with exercise: strength, hypertrophy, and endurance. If we're working on pure strength, we're looking at sets of 3 to 5 repetitions for 3 to 5 sets. And this is going to be addressing the mind muscle, aka the neuromuscular function of your body. In this scenario, you are exercising intensely enough and you would really benefit from doing this about 3 times a week. For muscle hypertrophy, aka building muscle, we're looking at 8 to 12 repetitions for about 3 to 5 sets. And this is where we're adding muscle fibers in parallel, adding in some muscle bulk and some strength. I like this area as it's quite versatile and it is hard and it feels like you've had a great workout. 3 to 5 times a week should be sufficient. I usually do about 3. Lastly is muscle endurance, or being able to maintain activity for long periods of time. This is where we're looking at 3 to 5 sets of 15 plus repetitions. But this is going to be very volume intensive. You're doing a lot of work. And in this scenario, this is where we're going to be focusing on about 3 times a week should be enough. So when it comes to selecting exercise, you also need to determine, are you looking to build just strength, build muscle, or improve your endurance? The goal of the strengthening program is going to drive your plan. We also need to shed some light on the concept of high impact versus low impact activities. It's easy to visualize the difference between walking, which is low impact, and a high impact activity like running. But things get a little muddy when professionals call weighted squats and deadlifts high impact activity. The true definition of this high impact is that it's hard and fast motions with an actual compressive and impact force. And it's often related to the ground. Think about slapping the floor with your hand versus placing your hand down gently. The outcome does feel a little different. And realistically speaking, a squat and a deadlift are low impact activities because there is no explosive motion or no hard contact between you and the floor. Which means that if you're a runner and you would like to reduce the impact, you can simply run uphill and problem solved. If you're interested in hearing more about the differences between high and low impact activities, I'll make another episode about it. Ultimately, when it comes to strengthening, we're looking at trying to address the source of why the weakness is there. Is it truly weak or a tight muscle, or is it something else? And are we actually doing the exercise correctly, and is it programmed correctly for our needs? You can certainly try to figure this out all on your own, or you can ask for the help of a professional. Regardless, the key to your success is being able to answer yes to, are you feeling better as a result? Not only will strength help you with managing your pain, but having a strong body will help you keep the pain from coming back. Next week, we're going to talk specifically about the habits necessary for a healthy back and sciatica pain prevention. Until then, any questions? Feel free to reach out to me at info@ifixyoursciatica.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you got some help from today's podcast. And for more info, check us out at ifixyoursciatica.com. Have a fantastic and pain-free day. No patient-therapist relationship is formed by listening to this podcast. We are not providing medical advice, and all information should be confirmed by a medical provider.